Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 59. Dasmins tam naya spristo. Ramamano sutasmiti. Tat sangat idrishin prapto. Shambhapiyashimprabho Tajninstam Ramaya Spishto Ramamando Sutasmiti Tatsangat Idrisham Prapto Dashambhapiyashimprabho Tasmins tam ramayo spishto Ramamano sutasmiti Tatsangat idrishim prapto Dasham papi yashim prabho. Tasmin, in that situation, from you, Ramaya, with the woman, Shrishtaha, being in contact, Ramanaha, enjoying, Smriti, without remembrance of spiritual existence. Tat with her. Sangat by association.
By association.
Aspishta.
Idrishim.
Which one am I up to?
After Sangha Association.
I'm going to start from Krishna. Being in contact. Ramanaha. Enjoying. Ashutta Smriti.
Ashutta Smriti.
Without remembrance of spiritual existence.
Without remembrance of spiritual existence.
Tat with, with her. Sangat. By association. Idrishim.
Like this.
Prata, you have attained Dasham,
state,
Papiyashim,
full of sinful activities.
Prabho,
my dear friend.
Translation, my dear friend, when you enter such a body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence. Forgetfulness of spiritual existence entangles a man more and more in material existence. Such is the result of sinful life. Various bodies are developed with the material ingredients because of different types of sinful activities. King Paranjana assumed the body of a woman by Davi as a result of his sinful activities. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Striyo Vaishastata Shudra, that such a body is lowborn. If one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, he can be elevated to the highest perfection even though he be lowborn. One acquires lower births when one's spiritual intelligence is reduced. Om Janti Miranjasa Janjana Salakaya Chakshuram Ritanjina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Mamhi Pata Vipashita Yepishu Papayonaya Sriyoga Shastra Kashudras Te Piyanti Paramgatim. O son of Pita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and the sudras, the workers, can attain the supreme destination. So, another way of saying that is that if one doesn't take an elevated birth in the mode of goodness or pure goodness, then it is a low birth. Men or women. That's practically 99.9% of the population. So no one should feel left out. It includes everybody, especially in Kali Yuga. Yeah. So, you know, there, as you see in this verse, the sudras and the vaishyas, that means men and women, and they make up the majority of the population of the world. Men and women. It's all low birth. So, now, this is a scriptural injunction. This is the science of being materially material contamination. There's a pandemic of contamination of the material modes of material nature. It is spread all over the world. It is very infectious and it is killing everyone. Everyone is being forced to take birth again and again, repeated birth and death because of the pandemic of material association. Everyone is being infected. And the material absorption means that one becomes involved in activities that are not related or sanctioned by the personality of Godhead, and they are called material activities or sinful activities. Any activity which is not sanctioned by the Lord is called material activities or sinful activities. And one thus becoming infected by the contamination, one then suffers the disease. So, Prabhupada often gives this particular example for dealing with material contamination. He says, once you have infected the disease, then you must suffer. So, once you've infected the disease, you must get a material body, and in that material body, you must suffer the reactions of the material contamination. So once we have this body, we just have to live out the reactions. We must suffer the reaction. The material body means that on the spiritual platform, because we take another material body, we are spiritually diseased, and therefore we keep taking material bodies. That is the symptoms of the spiritual disease. It's this material consciousness which produces these material bodies. And the more virulent, the higher the dose load of that contamination, then the more suffering and virulent is the effects of the disease of the material body and the suffering. So here, Paranjana he has taken a birth in what the scriptures describe as a low birth. He has taken birth in the body of a woman. Now, here, if we look back on the entire history of the world, we will see that karmic reactions or sinful reactions produce more suffering. If we look at the entire history of the world, we see that certain persons suffer oppression, reduction of facility, more difficult situations, some races of people, and we see that we have the women's liberation movement. Women's liberation means putting an end to this suffering that goes on century after century. Now, that the fact that that suffering goes on century after century is indication of this material contamination. But that doesn't excuse persons from committing sinful or harmful activities against those who may take a lower birth where they're getting more sinful reaction. So, for instance, as it is stated in the Bible, that man has dominion over the animals. That means that, again, according to the scriptures, that some are considered to be taking a lower birth. Man has dominion, but there is no injunction, because it says thou shalt not kill. Because one has dominion means that one should protect those who are in a less fortunate position. Dominion means, so for instance, we have a prime minister. He has dominion over us. That doesn't mean he can just send the order out, send the army out and slaughter them. Some people, for instance, in this coronavirus emergency that we have, some people are saying, just let it run rampant, and it will gradually, so many people will die, and that will fix the problem. Whereas the Prime Minister is saying, let us try and save every single life that we can. So that's dominion means. Therefore, we're glad that the Prime Minister is in charge and not the people who are saying, let it just run rampant, I'm okay, and then once so many people die, I'll be better off. So dominion does not mean that it is an opportunity to exploit and increase the suffering for one's sense gratification of those who are less fortunate. So, therefore, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we see that here in verse 932, that Krishna is also for women's liberation. Because he is saying that if they take shelter of me, they will be liberated. So he also wants that. He wants the liberation of women, Vaishyas, Sudras, all races, anyone who has taken unfortunate birth. He also wants their liberation. God has the greatest dominion over everyone, but he is not saying that I smite thee, and smash thee with some thunderbolts. He wants the living entities to actually not suffer, and therefore, the fact that the Lord wants the living entities not to suffer, he speaks the Bhagavad Gita and the different scriptures of the world through his representatives so that people will come out of, they will be liberated from the sinful births that we all take, especially in Kali Yuga. So, these, now of course, this teaching that it is very difficult for people to understand that the personality of Godhead exists and speaks instructions for our benefit, sends his representative. That is very, very difficult for people to understand. So generally, the scriptures may just try to help people to understand that they are an eternal spirit soul. Or, even if they cannot understand that they're an eternal spirit soul, that they may be taking birth again to accept the reactions of their activities. So even in Buddhism, where they do not accept the principle of the soul, then at least that concept is there, that whatever we do in this life, you know, we will take birth again, even if one believes that the soul is not eternal, but the living entity will take birth, and the body will be, the elements of material energy will create another material body, and that person will suffer again in that particular lifetime, life after life. Therefore, even the Buddhists who don't accept the soul say that one should not harm any living entity, because that will create a karmic reaction, and that one will have to suffer that life after life. Or, if one performs meritorious works, one can gradually elevate oneself and become to the point of nirvana, where one becomes free from all reactions, being free from desires, and become free from reaction. So therefore, even the Buddhist scriptures recommend that in order to become free from the contamination of material desires and the karmic reactions thereof, one should be very careful what one eats. And therefore, the Buddhist scriptures also recommend non-violence. And now, so whether one has a somewhat material conception of the soul, or one has a spiritual conception of the soul, by and large, atheism is based upon the principle that there is nothing and no reactions after this body. That is the basic principle of atheism. See that in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, Krishna explained the science of the soul, and he explained then in the verses from 40 that in 39 that if one understands the principle of the soul and acts on the spiritual platform so as not to create karma, then one can become free from the dangerous situation of taking a low birth according to one's sinful reactions. And he says that in verse 41, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. It's all based around the soul. O beloved child of the Kuru's, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should have a firm, full faith in the instructions of the scripture and the personality of Godhead, all the teachings of the scriptures which are recommending that we can get eternal life by God consciousness. We should have full faith in those teachings and the spiritual teachers who are giving those teachings. And then at the very end of that purport, Prabhupada says, the whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. So therefore, we see there that the root essence of atheism is disregarding that life should not be based upon sense gratification, but should be based upon the interests of the soul. And that atheistic propensity, we know, is epitomized or personified in personalities like Kamsa. So, those who Kamsa indicates this atheistic personality, and their lives are based upon sense gratification. And even if they accept religious principles, spiritual philosophies, gurus, and so many things and scriptures, still they will only base their activities upon sense gratification. Therefore, in most countries of the world, even places like China, you have, there's different scriptures, Buddhism, so many different types of philosophies which teach that one should not eat certain foods, otherwise one will get a certain sinful reaction. But somehow or another, they disregard this all over the world. And now, when Kamsa, he wanted to kill Krishna, representing these teachings of the absolute truth and the nature of this based upon the eternality of the soul and the supreme soul. And he wanted to kill Krishna, who is the absolute truth. So God is the personification of the absolute truth. And atheists want to destroy the teachings of our eternal relationship of the soul with the absolute truth. So he wanted, because he had heard the omen that the eighth son of Devaki and Vasudeva would be the personality of Godhead and would kill Kamsa. So then he began killing Devaki's children. So he killed six of his own nephews. And gradually the seventh, there was a mysterious birth, and then in the eighth one, Krishna was born but was quickly transferred, and then a swap with a little girl who was actually the personified material energy Durga baby, who Kamsa wanted to kill because she also represented the laws of God within the the laws of the material energy. So atheists think that they can flout the laws of the material energy itself through their science, and they have the atheistic person thinks that we will just disregard the laws of nature because we will take control of that. Anyway, when Kamsa was chastised by Durga Devi, he understood he'd been a rascal. He remembered all the philosophy about the eternal soul and, the karmic reactions of all these activities. Oh, I'm not going to do this again. I'll never do this again. What a terrible situation I've done. It felt very good. But then he went and associated with his advisors, as Prabhupada mentions, who were not qualified to give advice. What happens is that even persons who sometimes have the slightest inclination to refer to scriptures or sadhus and the personality of Godhead, because of their bad association with those who are intent on sense gratification, then they give up any sense of proper direction that may be found in the scriptures, they abandon that and they become even more sinful by that bad association. So this material pandemic, material infection, one has to be very, very careful not to become infected by others. Those who are, when we talk about infection from others, some have a very high infectious load within their system, and some have a very light infectious load within the system. So if you actually associate with someone who has a higher infectious load, you become more easily infected and will suffer more. Whereas a lighter infectious load may allow a person to deal with that quickly and perhaps not go into such a condition of suffering. So taking advice from persons who are highly materially infected is very dangerous. So Kamsa did that. And Kamsa decided that what they would do is they would flout the laws of the material nature, flout the scriptural recommendations and the advice of sadhus, and in fact, go to war against them. So we see that, in this world, that when persons, even leaders of different countries, and they want to disregard all scriptural references as to how they should avoid material contamination, especially beginning with what they eat. So what they decide to do is that they, just in case anyone opposes that, they will get this huge military might. We will do what we like in this particular place. No one can stop us. You may have your beliefs around the world, but we have our army. You cannot come in here with your particular teachings on the nature of the soul and the supreme soul. We have our borders, we're all protected with ships and bombs, so many different things, and satellites and spies. We have our army, we have our wealth, and we have our huge team of political advisors, and there is nothing that can ever, thwart our attempts to act as we please, eat what we want, do what we want, and just completely disregard any type of scriptural or saintly advice. In fact, if saintly persons come into our country, we will persecute them. So then, as what happened was that when Kamsa did that, on the advice of his, because he did a very similar thing. We will not allow this, we will kill them, we'll drive these people away, we'll do in this way, there's no way, there'll be no God consciousness, in our territories. And what Prabhupada says in the Krishna book is that by doing such, one offends the personality of Godhead, and one accelerates it. And one accelerates death in the entire world, is this, actually. And one, creates calamities, great calamities. So, and we see that ultimately, Kamsa was not able to defy the laws of the material energy, Durga Devi, who operates under the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa was very, very fortunate because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who happened to come to give pleasure, pastimes to his devotees, who were trying to teach the spiritual teachings, to protect people from material contamination, while Krishna was giving joy to his devotees, he personally killed Kamsa, and that was Kamsa's benefit. But as she has described there, that God doesn't have to come to kill great personalities. He can destroy all the armies and the border controls of the world and all their wealth and everything, that all the might of the world. He can send one tiny little bug and destroy them all. There is no, when God wants to cross somewhere, there is no border, there is no army, there is nothing that can stop it. One little tiny bug, boom, everything finished. How powerful is God? Therefore, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all pervading. He is within every atom, and he is within the heart of every living entity. And sometimes, you know, we worship the Lord with a sacred fire. You know, just as Moses communicated to the Lord through a sacred fire. Someone asked me the other day, did Moses light that fire? I said, I don't think so. I think it was self-manifest. But we actually purposely light a sacred fire. We understand that because the Lord is within every atom, that in that sacred fire, the Lord's full potency is there. He can act 100% as God through that fire, because he is omnipotent, omniscient, and all-pervading. And therefore, his full might can also act through one little bug, if he wants. There's nothing to stop the personality of Godhead. So, one cannot flaunt the laws of the material energy. One cannot flaunt the what is described as all devouring time. If anyone thinks that we can do as we please, and we will somehow be able to conquer the destiny effects of our actions through all devouring time, that is not possible. So, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, although they're very simple, they can stop all the calamities of the world, which are manifestations of sinful reactions. And as soon as we accept the material body, we are subject to all the calamities in the world, especially in Kali Yuga. Therefore, even to take birth as a brahmana is a sinful reaction in one sense, because one ends up still in the material world. Even to be a brahmana in Kali Yuga, you still have to deal with so much difficulty. It's a sinful reaction. A class, B class, C class prisoner. Freedoms from sinful reaction means that one does not take a material body. And therefore, that verse that we quoted from Bhagavad Gita 9:32, Krishna says, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, sudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So, as Prabhupada says, make the best use of a bad bargain. And now, when Kamsa was being advised by his foolish advisors, you know, what they do is they speak truth, as Prabhupada says, the devil is quoting scripture, but they apply the truth that should be dedicated to the personality of Godhead to sense gratification. So in this world, generally, when we talk of morality, we talk of not disturbing sense gratification. You know, even in this health crisis that's affecting the world, part of the decision-making process is that sense gratification has to go on to a certain degree, because that's the right thing to do. But of course, by doing that, it creates a, you know, well, it actually exacerbates the problem and allows and causes something very difficult to continue. Now, the demoniac advisors of Kamsa, they said that we should destroy this enemy before he becomes too strong. So, just like at the moment, actually the governments are literally saying, we are at war. There's this tiny little bug. They're at war. There's a tiny little bug. All the governments of the world. They're saying that, literally, we are at war. We can't allow it to get too strong. If it gets too strong, we're finished. They know that. So these demons, you know, they said the same thing, you know, to Kamsa. But, of course, they don't know the process of defeating the enemy, and that's important. You know, actually, when the demons were correctly saying you defeat an enemy before it gets too strong, the problem was God is not the enemy. You know, that's the problem. The representatives of the personality of Godhead, they're not the enemy. And the teachings about the soul and the eternal relationship between the soul and the supreme soul, they're not the, you know, the march of the enemy, you know, for aggression. They're actually, these teachings are to are very friendly. That even if one, that actually, as we see, the personality of Godhead, it doesn't matter how sinful one is, the same teaching to the Bhagavad Gita to understand that we are the eternal soul, to give up the process of the sense gratification which creates these bodies filled with sinful reaction, those same teachings are being given to every single person in this world, even the most sinful person. God is not the enemy. He wants every single person to actually experience unlimited bliss. But he is not the enemy. The enemy is in fact those who want to not allow those teachings to be heard far and wide. What I find very interesting in our current situation is that, you know, in order to allow a little sense gratification to go on, then crowds can assemble in, what do they call that? You know, places that are essential, what do they call it? Think where things are essential, such as you know, cafes, pubs, and things like that. Non-essential temples, mosques, and, you know, churches. They're in the non-essential places, right? So you can have 100, you know, or 500 outdoors in the essential places where sense gratification should go on, but the non-essential places like churches, no. That's even, you know, further reduced. So, the teaching is correct that you know, before something gets too strong, you actually have to, you know, destroy it. So therefore, Chanakya Pandit says that fire, if there's fire, you must put it out immediately. You can't say that, oh, look, let it go, I've got some other things to do. You know, I'll come back to it. It's on my list. It's on top of my list. Debt. Can't put that out. Anyone now who's in debt, I'll sort it later. Now the big problem. And disease. Now, therefore, how do we prevent the sinful reaction which manifests in, you know, pandemics and, you know, all sorts of natural disasters and, you know, food shortages and so many things. How do we prevent that? We prevent that at the very source. And that is to not cultivate the desire for sense gratification, which has its inherent material sinful reactions. And to do that, all the scriptures of the world, all of them, including Buddhism, teach that one should keep control of the mind and the senses. Being very careful what one eats, you know, excessive sense gratification destroying the immune system of the body and destroying one's, you know, ability to think properly and make proper decisions, as is said here, that when a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence. You know, actually, here, of course, in the temple, people, usually come and sit for some time, for an hour and a half, a couple of hours, and I just sit here. For many people in the world to sit still for 2 minutes, within 2 minutes they're wiggling about, they're uncomfortable, you know, they're in pain, you know, they want to leave, they want to get up, their mind goes somewhere else, they're fidgeting. They cannot sit and hear. And so as Prabhupada says here, one acquires lower births when one's spiritual intelligence is reduced. So by controlling the mind and senses, reducing sense gratification, even the demons understand this point, that if you allow the senses to become too agitated, you allow them to just become very strong for sense gratification, then you have no hope of controlling them. Even the atheists understand that point. Actually, you don't have to be a philosopher. You know, even the average person understands that, you know, for instance, if a child gets, or anyone starts getting angry, you're better off to calm them down just, you know, when it begins, okay, you know, just a little anger. You let it grow and grow and grow. You can't stop. Even people of the, you know, yesterday someone was, you know, shooting at the police, killed someone, you know, firing off. Once that anger gets to a point, there is no sense of what they're doing. All intelligence is lost. That's also mentioned in the Gita. You know, that principle in verses 2:62-63, that... you know, while contemplating the objects of the senses, the person develops attachment for them. So, as soon as we begin to contemplate sense gratification, if we can stop it there, before we become attached. Once we're attached, right, we've already got a problem, isn't it? You know, if we're contemplating, but we're not attached, it's easier. Once we're attached, therefore in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, you know, the process of surrender is one must give up false association. False association, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is all the attachments we develop because of our material desires. That's called false association. Now, if we allow things to get to the attachment state, while contemplating the objects of the senses, the person develops attachment, and from such attachment, lust develops. So then we've got attachment, then there's a strong desire in the heart, burning, must have that. And from lust, anger. That, you know, then a person is really just, you know, that, as it says, from anger, they're in real trouble. From anger, complete delusion arises. And just anything, any good instruction, any intelligent thought you've ever had in your entire life is gone. Anything, you know, any sense of proper direction you cannot remember any of it. It's just this anger, unfulfilled desire. And from that delusion, bewilderment of memory, and when the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. There's no intelligence. One doesn't know the right thing to do, or what, and one doesn't even care. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool. One becomes, then one has fully contaminated the full viral load of material infection, and then one suffers the full, effects, the symptoms of that disease. And graduate in this life, and then takes body after body. In fact, one can take in one life, one can incur so many sinful reactions that it is not possible to, nullify in many, many lives. And on this planet, when the sinful reactions of the world accumulate to such a degree that the earth cannot burden such sinful reactions, then those sinful reactions are lifted through, the mass casualty of people throughout the world. That suffering. So, therefore, the Gita, although the temple is considered by many to be, it's not an essential place. What's the word? I think it's essential. They're not particularly needed. Other places are needed. Temples, churches, they're not particularly needed. In fact, this is such an important message that even if somehow people cannot come to the temple because of different restrictions, still the message must go out all throughout the world as we're doing here, online, somehow or another, the message must go out. And especially now, because you see that when people, a pious person, when there's sinful reactions, a pious person becomes more pious. They're more inclined to be, if there's a sadhu or a saintly person or a respectable person, they're more respectful. An impious person becomes more impious. Prabhupada says that. Therefore we see that because of the different world crisis, if you go to the supermarket, you'll see that the pious people, they're becoming going out of their way to help others, perhaps the elderly or those who can't look after themselves. They look checking on their neighbours, and the impious person, if they see a little old lady with a loaf of bread that they want, they will grab it off her. She tries to keep it, they'll whack her in the face, push her away. But for those who are pious, they'll be more inclined to hear this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which is the solution of all the problems of the world, because the solution to the problems of all the world is the sinful reactions to material activities which are not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and what's more, the Bhagavad Gita gives, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find what you will find in all the scriptures of the world. So what we have spoken there is found in all the scriptures of the world. But there's not a lot of knowledge about when you come to the spiritual platform, then what do you do? Then the soul engages in the eternal loving service of the personality of Godhead to help others to go back to the spiritual world and not take another material body. And those activities are so blissful that one does not again reinfect. The activities of hearing about the personality of Godhead, his pastimes, are so blissful, and engaging in activities in relationship to the Supreme Lord, those activities are so blissful that they immunize one from future infections, and they also destroy the material disease right at the very root a very easy way. A very, very powerful medicine. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any comments or questions.
Thank you. Just wondering about the reference for Prabhupada describing how pious people would make simple action.
Yeah, it's I don't know the reference offhand. But I don't know the reference offhand. But it is there in many parts of his, you know, in his lectures and in the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Those things, you know, in the activities of the Kamsa. I've been quoting that for, you know, decades, and I've come across it a few times where I originally read it, but I'll have to write it down. If I come across it again, I'll let you know. I'll do that. People ask me a question about a quote. I'll, you know, 2 years later, I walk up to them. I'll say, "That's the reference." I'll find it. Any other comments or questions?
Which talks about Mangala's anger comes.
Yes.
So it appears that from the words that there is something in between also, which is very unfulfilled lust, so this leads to anger, because it doesn't seem very clear that why lust is leading to anger. If you can comment on that.
Yeah. So, yes, anger is basically a frustration of material desires. And therefore anger can be in a mild form a sense of frustration or a sense of I'm not very happy with that, lamenting, even, you know, lamenting that some sense gratification hasn't come or wasn't quite there. That sort of lamentation about a lack of sense gratification, it is a negative sort of emotion, and a sense of lamentation, sense of frustration, sense of disappointment. If that, just like desire, so attachment, then comes desire. It's literally an extension of that attachment is strong desire, and those strong desires can become, a desire then can become lust, where, it's an uncontrollable desire, very powerful, strong desire. Lust means it's a very, very strong desire. So in the same way, anger has its different, from subtle, less to more profound anger at that. Even saying from attachment to lust, from attachment we get desire. But desire, there's a little bit of a difference between desire and lust. Lust is, more profound, more stronger desire. It's a very strong material desire Everyone has, material desires, but one is generally called lusty when, they're just looking at the situation just according to that material desire. They look at a woman, just in a lusty way. This person is just for my sense gratification, or look at a man for the sense, and they don't see anything else but the fulfillment of that desire. But, others may have a desire that is very faint. They're dealing with women and men, but not to such a profound effect that, the whole relationship is based on that desire. There's still so much, there may be desire there, there's much lesser. So, in the same way that desire is presented as lusty, but there are different stages. So, similarly, anger, it has many different stages like that. So, the Krishna is In the whole Bhagavad Gita is a quick ABC summary like that. And yes, there are many, you know, subtleties and stages that we can look at here. And that's the beauty of the Bhagavatam itself. It actually does go into a lot more of the, you know, in between points. Therefore, as we said, a fire should be put out if we think we'll, you know, if you put more fuel on it, it just burns brighter. And it will just keep burning. In other words, you know, like we had the forest fire previously in Australia. As much fuel as that fire can get, it will burn. Okay? So material desire is like that. There is no point where, okay, I've satisfied a material desire, lust desire, I'm satisfied. It's, you know, he's just going to consume and consume and consume and never be satiated. Therefore, it says, you know, that material desire, that lusty desire, is the eternal enemy of the soul. Covers the real knowledge of the soul, and it burns like fire. Burns like fire means there's no satiation. If there's fuel, there's opportunity for sense gratification. So one has sense gratification, but you know that's what the scriptures say, and that's what even the atheists understood. And they were speaking to Kamsa. The more you try to satisfy the senses, actually, the stronger they get. That's the problem. They actually get stronger, like a fire. That you the more fuel you give it, it just gets bigger. The more sense gratification you give a you know, last, the senses actually become stronger, and that's a problem. Then it becomes a problem it becomes an enemy that you cannot conquer. And what we see is that if someone satisfies a particular sense, so for instance, say, let's take it back to eating, right? Someone says, the scriptures, Buddhist scriptures, Christian scriptures, Mutton is going, you know, regulate what you're eating. There's only certain things you're allowed, and other things are off the menu. One may, you know, just go a little overboard. And, you know, the tongue, the belly, not quite satisfied. So then they're left a little frustrated. So then they, you know, let's go a little further. You know, this is a little bit more taboo. Maybe, you know, that will satisfy. And so they'll go a little further. And basically, you know, in the entire process of satisfying sense gratification, you know, one has to be, you know, either, you know, put aside what has, you know, what is proper, and gradually as one becomes, you know, more and more into sense gratification, one has to oppose sadhus, scriptures, God, the laws of nature. It becomes an opposition. It becomes the enemy. It's like an anger, you know. So actually, increased sense gratification increases one's opposition, and even Kamsa said this. You know, even the atheists, they know this, that when it comes to sense gratification, that's why we create enemies. I hate you. I'm angry at you because I'm trying to enjoy sense gratification, and you're in the way. So therefore, it is because of sense, as sense gratification increases, we increase our enemies in this world. Because what is sense gratification? Sense gratification, as it increases, means we're doing more and more sinful activities, or activities which are more and more harmful for other living entities. and therefore actually increases our hate, our enmity to others. And therefore, that is why Kamsa, one minute he's with his own sister on her wedding day, next minute his sense gratification is curtailed. And if the only way he can get his sense gratification and Devaki is in the way, she becomes his immediate enemy and she must die. You see? So the process of sense gratification literally creates an inimical behavior between other living entities in this world, and an anger and aggression. So it leads to anger. And it cannot be satisfied, and that leads to further anger. That I have done this, you know, I have, you know, given up so much money. I've lost my family, you know, gambling. I've lost my house, trying to satisfy this, you know, desire for gambling, and I'm still not satisfied. How angry would you be? You know, it leads to anger. There's no doubt about it. The more sinful one is, the more frustrated one becomes, the more angry, and the more one create enemies, and the more one will oppose that person, and it becomes a nightmare of anger. Yeah. Yeah. Should Papa the key?